Welcome to the Mercy Hill Sermon Podcast. What you are about to hear are reflections on the occasion of our church's third anniversary by Pastor Phil Henry. Pastor Henry draws from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 to talk about Jesus' mission for his church and the mission and vision of Mercy Hill in particular. Thanks for listening.
Mercy Hill's mission statement is helping people thrive in Christ. Thriving to me sounds like a healthy plant. Plenty of sun, plenty of air, nutrients, good root bed, water, protected from pests and fruitful. I'm reminded of Psalm 1, which would be a good theme verse for a church community and for a family and for a person who's thriving in Christ. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. I think we've heard from some people who are, in fact, thriving in Christ, at least in part through the work of this new church, and that's exciting. I'm going to spend the next couple of minutes talking about what thriving in Christ looks like as we think about our mission and our vision and values as a congregation, as a new church ministry. The text that is going to be the basis for my remarks this morning is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians 4, beginning at verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have heard and learned and received and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we think about this text and how it applies to this idea of thriving in Christ, I pray that you will use the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts. Direct them towards your glory and our good. May they be pleasing in your sight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In preparation for my message this morning, I read through some of my old journals. Always a little dangerous. I've been journaling for many, many years, and the one that I pulled off the shelf was from 2007. And in those journals, I was rereading some of my thoughts back at that time. And in terms of the narrative that Polly and I shared with you, that 07 year locates us after I resigned as a youth pastor at the church plant in Tucson, and before we knew where we were going. And in my journal, I had written down some quotes from a book that I had read that was quite interesting and helpful. The book is called Let My People Go Surfing. It's a memoir and a semi-autobiographical narrative of the founding of the company Patagonia. Patagonia, if you're into hiking in the outdoors, they make clothing and equipment for rock climbing and tents and jackets and so forth. Maybe you even have one. The founder of Patagonia is the one who wrote the book. His name is Yvon Chouinard. He's a Frenchman. At that time, I was thinking a lot about church planting and what the mission of a church should be. And an idea that struck me from the book at the time relates to Patagonia's own mission statement. Here's what the author writes. He says, "The first part of our mission statement is make the best product. This is the reason for existence, the raison d'etre of Patagonia and the cornerstone of our business philosophy." At the time, after reading this, I asked myself, I wonder what the raison d'etre, the reason for existence of a church should be. What would the cornerstone of a church's philosophy of ministry be? Here's what I wrote in my journal at the time. It seems to me that the raison d'etre, the reason for being of a new church, must be Jesus Christ. He's the cornerstone. We just sang that song. His gospel, some way or another. But if that's the case, how do you find the best Jesus, the best gospel? What does that look like? It especially troubled me because it seemed like you couldn't claim to be a church unless that were true. And yet so many churches seem to have made other things the cornerstone of their life together. Here's what I meant then. If the gospel is the reason for a new church to exist, then the best gospel, in theory, should be the same for every church. And yet many churches are different, and many churches don't have that any more than maybe a motto. How do we define best? The irony is, in my current sermon series in the book of Luke, Jesus defines best as least. So here we have the tension between benefiting from something, say, in the business world, and this book is describing a narrative of a company, and yet recognizing that the values of corporate America or global corporate finance and development, product, blah, 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 couldn't be more opposite than that to the church. The best product is the least product, the church. How is that possible? How do you think about that? Because there's no way my wife and I and our family are going to move 2,500 miles to a place we've never lived to do something that's cheap, that's sloppy, that's half-hearted, that's, you know, subpar. The tension here, then, is how you live out the gospel of weakness in a way that's attractive, in a way that's excellent. And Paul, in his words here, summing up Philippians in a way, kind of gives us a picture of that. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, God's power in weakness," that's what they've seen in Paul. Do that. At Mercy Hill, we've taken several different approaches to the best gospel. We've talked about authenticity and real relationships. I heard that mentioned several times. We've talked about making the gospel intelligible. Not intelligent necessarily, although that is included in that concept, but easy to understand. I've said from the pulpit before, I don't have the ability to convince anyone of the claims of Christ, but I can, through study and thoughtful engagement and listening, I can, I think, by God's grace, lower barriers that might exist in your life to grasping or believing or following Jesus. Clear away hurdles. That's what I think about in terms of intelligible. We don't want to compromise the gospel or alter it anyway, but it needs to be meaningful. We've also talked about not just talking about the gospel, but living it out. All these ideas have come together in the past 3 years in a simple triad: gospel, community, mission. I want to talk about each of these briefly. Gospel. The word for gospel is, there's several words for it in the Bible. One that I'm going to use is the word kerygma. In Latin, the word is the evangel. You've heard of evangelism or an evangelist. That's someone who brings the gospel. The gospel is the good news of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for poor sinners on the cross. Christians have been recreated by the power of this gospel and are made, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, new creatures in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. We believe that this renewal is called salvation. In saving sinners, God puts a new song in their mouths, a song of praise to our God. So the gospel includes everything about the Word of God. Every page of the Bible has the message of the gospel in it. Even in the midst of Numbers, Leviticus, Isaiah, Malachi, Revelation, Matthew, every page of the Bible testifies to the gospel. Therefore, all aspects of the Word of God talk about Jesus. So as a church, we read the scriptures, we preach and teach the scriptures, we sing praises to God, we sing the gospel story, as you've done this morning in the four songs that we've sung so far. We participate in the Word of God visual, which is baptism and the Lord's Supper. The sacraments are a picture of the Word of God. And we even have every ordinary, everyday discussions and conversations about Jesus, gospel. Second, community. The word for community in Greek is koinonia. In Latin, it's communio. In the Apostles' Creed, we talk about communion of the saints, the communio sancti, the communion of the people of God. Communion, it has the word union in it, so there's connectivity between one another. First communion is vertical. It's union between a believer and his Savior, Jesus. That's a, we call it a mystical union. It's an invisible tie. But in being tied to Jesus, you're also tied to every one of his other kids all over the world. The communion of saints. And specifically in a local church, there's a community, isn't there? And what's neat about Mercy Hill is that the community that we see on Sunday has so many other connections. They're guests with us this morning. They are part of our community. There are people. We had a party at our house with like 70, 80 people on Friday night. These are people we've been building community with for 3-4 years. And in that community, in our neighborhood, we talk about the gospel. You see, the gospel works itself out in ordinary community. This is a sacred community here, the Sacred Assembly of the Saints on the Lord's Day. It's a fairly traditional, historic kind of meeting. So we have kind of a sacred community and then a common community, a more of an ordinary community. But in both cases, we see the gospel working itself out into the fellowship of God's people. And it's important to mention that the thing that makes community is the gospel. It's the Word of God. When Jesus went to the tomb of his friend Lazarus, he said, do you remember what he said? Lazarus, come out. And the dead man rose to life. It's the Word of Jesus that brings life. It's the Word of God that makes community. God's Word makes God's people, God's family, God's house, the body of Christ. God's Word makes the church. The Word of God is the pillar and foundation of the church, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus being its cornerstone. Gospel, community, three, mission. The word in Latin for mission is missio. It literally means send. If you can picture a slingshot released, that rock, that water balloon, whatever you're slingshotting, flies through the air. And God takes the gospel, makes a community, and then sends his people on mission. Missio, sent. The Greek word for mission is interesting. You know the word apostle? Apostolos is the Greek word for sent ones. Now, we believe there are 12 apostles. That can't be repeated. Those are sacred chairs in the city of God. But that's a big A, capital A, apostle. Little a, apostle. Every ordinary believer, apostolos, missio, is sent. All of you, no matter where you are in the spectrum of faith, are in the slingshot of the Holy Spirit through the gospel in the community. God is sending you somewhere. What is your mission? Gospel, community, mission. The church, the people of God, are formed or created by the Word of God. God in the beginning of the world said, let there be light, and there was. God creates his community similarly today. When the Word of God is preached, the community of God is formed. And he creates his people not to be static, but to be dynamic and active and sent into the world. Greater works shall you do than these, because I go to the Father. That is to say, the fields are white unto the harvest. There are many people in your life who need to know what you know, and they don't know it yet. They need you to tell them. Missio, apostolos, sent. You are sent into the world, not of the world, but in the world. You are sent on a mission. You are called to glorify God in everything you do. This glory means displaying Him accurately to those who are not yet part of the family. They need to know what being part of God's family looks like and feels like. They need to be able to sit at your table. They need to be able to ride with you in the car, sit next to you in a cubicle, next to you in the desk in the classroom, and get an idea what Jesus is like. It's a trite phrase, but it's a truism. You're the only Jesus that some people will ever meet. You are called to extend the influence of His kingdom where the devil's kingdom currently reigns and rules. So the other word for mission is kingdom. Basileia in Greek is kingdom. Jesus reigns and rules in the midst of His people. And as you go out, you are an ambassador of the King, taking His word to His lost kids. As it says, the 99 are left in the pen, and the one sheep that's gone astray, you go over hill and valley to find that one. And there's one that God wants you to find. There's no way I could possibly, I as a professional Christian, could possibly speak to all the people that you know. It's you. Moses said when a prophetic outbreak came out in the camp of God's people, and Joshua came up to him and said, you got to stop this craziness. He said, would that all of God's people were prophets. We are prophets, priests, and kings for the Lord our God in the midst of His people. A radically egalitarian, yes, there's authority and structure in the church, but there's a radical egalitarian quality to the mission of God. Each one of us has a missio, has part of the kingdom that we are called to. I think part of our mission is in our name, Mercy. Mercy. We put Mercy Hill in the name as a way, as an accountability piece to make sure that we never exclude mercy from the mission. This is practical deeds of kindness and compassion and grace, meeting people where they're at, helping them physically, emotionally, spiritually. So I have 10 more pages. I'm going to stop there. If we do that, that is the best product. That is the best product. Anything less than that is a waste of time. It is a waste of money. It is a waste of resources. And yet, God has called us, I think, to give our best to His work. And I can, with confidence, say that every person here is doing that. Let's keep doing it. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this word, which I'll read again. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in Me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Lord, this is a high calling we have. We want to do church that's pure, church that's true, church that's honorable and just and lovely, commendable and excellent, and worthy of praise. Lord, we have a lot of work to be done, and yet so much has been accomplished. We've heard some of that this morning, so we give You thanks for this. In Jesus' name, let's continue praying as the band is about to lead us in a closing hymn. There's a prayer printed in your bulletin. I'd like us to stand together and pray this in unison. So if you're able, stand in your seat. And let's pray this prayer that I've written, an anniversary prayer for a new church. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we pray for our church, your congregation, which you have planted here in South Jersey, of which we are a part, members of the body, and of which you are the head. Thank you for the good work you have begun. We pray that you would complete it. Remind us today that the church is the people of God on mission for God by the power of the gospel to the glory of God. In that light, O Lord, please fill us with all truth, in all truth, and with all peace. Where this new church is corrupt, purify us. Where we are in error, direct us. Where in anything we are amiss, reform us, revive us, renew us. Good Lord, where we are right, strengthen us. Where we are in need, provide for us. Where we are divided, reunite us. And fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we will witness to all those around us, the last, least, and lost, so that all will know the power of the good news of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Mercy Hill Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about us, please visit our website at www.mercyhillnj.org. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the Church House, located at 1050 Hollydale Court in Sewell, off of Delsey Drive, behind Terra Nova Restaurant, and in the cul-de-sac adjacent to the Hollydale Ice Arena. We'd love for you to join us. Please see our website for directions. Thanks again for listening to the Mercy Hill Sermon Podcast.